కోటి వైష్ణవృందికి, నమాచార్య హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ఇస్కాన్ ఫౌండర్ ఆచార్య శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్కి, ప్రేమసకౌ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసతి గౌర్ భక్తులందుకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప్ గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధన్కి, బృందావన్ ధామ్కి, మథురా ధామ్కి, నవదీప్ ధామ్కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి, గంగామాయికి, యమునామాయికి, భక్తిదేవి తులసిమారానికి, సంకీర్తన మహాయజ్ఞకి, బృహద్మృదంగా ట్రాన్స్లెంటల్ బుక్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్కి, సమవేత గౌర్ భక్తులందుకి, గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబుల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అని గౌరవంగా, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు జగద్గురు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాదకి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య, నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం, దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం, తతో జయముదీరయేత్. బిఫోర్ రిసైటింగ్ ది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం, విచ్ ఇస్ అ వెరీ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ కాంక్వెస్ట్, వన్ షుడ్ ఆఫర్ ద రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ ఆన్ టు ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ నారాయణ్, ఆన్ టు నరనారాయణ ఋషి ద సూపర్ మోస్ట్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్, ఆన్ టు మదర్ సరస్వతి ద గాడెస్ ఆఫ్ లెర్నింగ్, అండ్ ఆన్ టు శిలా వ్యాసదేవ ది ఆథర్. యచ్చావ్రజంతి అనిమిషాం ఋషభాన్ వృత్త్యా, దూరేయమాహి ఉపరినః స్పృహనీయ శిలః, భర్తుర్మితైః సుయశః కరణ కథానురాగా, వైకల్య బాష్ప కలయా పులకీకృతాంగః, యచ్చావృజంతి అనిమిషం ఋషభాన్ వృత్త్యా, దూరేయమాహి ఉపరిన స్పృహనీయ శిలః, భర్తుర్మితైః సుయశః కథనానురాగా, వైకల్య బాష్ప కలయా పులకీకృతాంగః, యచ్చావృజంతి అనిమిషం ఋషభాన్ వృత్త్యా, దూరేయమాహి ఉపరిన స్పృహనీయ శిలః, భర్తుర్మితిః సుయశః కథనానురాగా, వైకల్య బాష్ప కలయా పులకీకృతాంగః, Vaishnavis. Yacha vrajanti animisham vrishabhana vritya. Dure yamaha yuparinas prihaniya shilaha. Bhartur mita suyashaha katananuraga. Vaikalya Vashpa Kalaya Pulaki Kritanga Yat Vaikunta Cha and Vrajanti Go Animisham of the demigods Rishabha Chief Anuvritya following in the footsteps Dure, keeping at distance. Yamaha, regulative principles. He, certainly. Upari, above. Naha, us. Spruhaniya, to be desired. Shilaha, good qualities. Bhartruhu of the Supreme Lord. Mitaha of one another. For one another, yes. Suyashaha, glorious. Katana, by discussions, discourses. Anuraga, attraction. Vaikalya, ecstasy. Bashpakalaya, tears in the eyes. Pulaki krute, shivering. Angaha, bodies. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other austerities. The kingdom of God is above the material universes, and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. Purport. It is clearly stated herein that the kingdom of God is above the material universes. Just as there are many hundreds of thousands of higher planets above this earth, so there are many millions and billions of spiritual planets belonging to the spiritual sky. Brahmaji states herein that the spiritual kingdom is above the kingdom of the demigods. One can enter the kingdom of Supreme Lord only when one is highly developed in desirable qualities. All good qualities develop in the person of a devotee. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, verse number 12, that anyone who is Krishna conscious is endowed with all good qualities of the demigods. In the material world, the qualities of the demigods are highly appreciated. Just as even in our experience, the qualities of a gentleman are more highly appreciated than the qualities of a man in ignorance or in the lower condition of life. The qualities of the demigods in the higher planets are far superior to the qualities of the inhabitants on this earth. Brahmaji confirms herein that only the person who have developed the desirable qualities can enter the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the devotee's desirable qualities are described to be 26 in number. They are stated as follows. He is very kind. He does not quarrel with anyone. He accepts Krishna consciousness as the highest goal of life. He is equal to everyone. No one can find fault in his character. He is magnanimous, mild, and always clean, internally and externally. He does not profess to propose anything in this material world. Possesses anything in this material world. He is a benefactor of all living entities. He is peaceful and is a soul completely surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desire to fulfill. He is meek and humble, always steady, and has conquered the material activities. He does not eat more than required to the human to maintain the human to maintain body and soul together. He is never mad after material identity. He is respectful to all others and does not demand respect for himself. He is very grave, very compassionate, and very friendly. He is poetic. He is expert in all activities. And he is silent in nonsense. Similarly, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, verse 21, the qualifications of a saintly person are mentioned. It is said that a saintly person eligible to enter into the kingdom of God is very tolerant and very kind to all living entities. He is not partial. He is kind to both human beings and to animals. He is not such a fool that he will kill a goat Narayan to feed human Narayan or Daridra Narayan. He is very kind to all living entities. Therefore, he has no enemy. He is very peaceful. These are the qualities of a person who are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. That such a person gradually becomes liberated and enters the kingdom of God is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse number 2. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 3rd chapter, verse 24 also states that if a person does not cry or exhibit the bodily changes after chanting the holy name of God without offenses, it is to be understood that he is hard-hearted and that therefore his heart does not change even after he chants the holy name of God, Hare Krishna. These bodily changes can take place due to the ecstasy when we offenselessly chant the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It may be noted that there are 10 offenses we should avoid. The first offense is to decry the persons who try in their lives to broadcast the glories of the Lord. Persons must be educated in understanding the glories of the Supreme. Therefore, the devotees who engage in the preaching the glories of the Lord are never to be decried. It is the greatest offense. Furthermore, the holy name of Vishnu is the most auspicious name, and his pastimes are also non-different from the holy name of the Lord. There are many foolish persons who say that one can chant Hare Krishna or chant the name of Kali or Durga or Shiva because they are all same. If one thinks that holy name of Supreme Personality of Godhead and the names and activities of the demigods are on the same level, or if one accepts the holy name of Vishnu to be material sound vibration, that is also an offense. The third offense is to think the spiritual master who spreads the glories of the Lord as an ordinary human being. The fourth offense is to consider the Vedic literature such as Puranas and other transcendentally revealed scriptures to be ordinary books of knowledge. The fifth offense is to think that devotees have given artificial importance to the holy name of God. The actual fact is that Lord is non-different from his name. The highest realization of the spiritual value is to chant the holy name of God as prescribed for the age. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation to the holy name of God. The seventh offense is to act sinfully on the strength of chanting the holy name of God. It is understood that one can be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of God. But if one thinks that he is therefore at liberty to commit all kinds of sinful activities, that is a symptom of offense. The eighth offense is to equate the chanting of Hare Krishna with other spiritual activities such as meditation, austerity, penance, or sacrifice. They cannot be equated at any level. The ninth offense is to specifically glorify the importance of the holy name before a person who have no interest. The tenth offense is to be attached to the misconception of possessing something or to accept body as oneself while executing the process of spiritual cultivation. When one is freed from all 10 of these offenses in chanting the holy name of God, he develops the ecstatic bodily features called Pulakashru. Pulaka means symptoms of happiness. Ashru means tears in the eyes. The symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes must appear in a person who has chanted the holy name offenselessly. Here it is stated that those who have actually developed the symptoms of happiness and tears in the eyes by chanting the glories of the Lord are eligible to enter the kingdom of God. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if one does not develop these symptoms while chanting the Hare Krishna, it is to be understood that he is still offensive. Chaitanya Charitamrita suggests a nice remedy in this connection. There it is said, in verse 31, chapter 8, Adi Leela that if anyone takes the shelter of Lord Chaitanya and just chants the name and just chants the holy name of the Lord Hare Krishna, he becomes free from all offenses. Thus ends the purport. Om Ajnanatimira Andasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Raguna Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha Namavam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So welcome everyone to this Bhagavatam class and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on the Bhagavatam. And I seek the blessings of all the devotees who are assembled here. So today we are reading from the 15th chapter, verse number 25. So the name of this chapter is Description of Kingdom of God. And in the previous verses, verse number 14 to 22, we have seen the description of the Vaikuntha planets. How in the Vaikuntha planets the residents are engaged in, you know, constantly glorifying the Lord, how the Lord is situated, and there's also a description about the forests in Vaikuntha which are filled with the desired trees bearing the fruits and flowers, and how in the Vaikuntha planets the husband and wife riding in the aeroplane bedecked with so many jewels, they are absorbed in the chanting the, you know, glories of the holy name, and we have seen how even the birds and bees have stopped chirping so that they can hear to the glories of the holy name. So in this way, there is a detailed description of the Vaikuntha planets in the previous verses, number 14 to 22. And in the, from verse number 23 to 25, it describes who can and who cannot enter the Vaikuntha planets. And in verse number 23 and 24, we have seen who can, who cannot enter the Vaikuntha planets. And in today's verse, which is number 25, we will study who is eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God. And in the previous verses, it is said that those who do not understand the Supreme Lord and His abode and who are not engaged in hearing the topics related to the Supreme Lord are not qualified. Whereas, on the other hand, those whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glories of the Lord are promoted. So, here it is referring to those devotees who are highly advanced in the path of bhakti and where the external symptoms of ecstasy are manifested. So one may ask a question that if the spirit souls are part and parcel of Krishna and they are qualitatively one with Krishna and they are as good as Krishna, then why is it that a living entity is not naturally attracted to hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord and His abode, and why is it that the symptoms of ecstasy is not present in the, you know, in those jivas? So the answer to that question is given by Prabhupada in one of the upcoming purports, where he says that the spirit soul as part and parcel of Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the Lord. When the spirit soul is contaminated by material modes of nature, one is considered good or bad with reference to the material qualities. But when one is transcendental to all the material qualities, all the good qualities come out. So here we can see that even though a jiva is part and parcel of Krishna, which is qualitatively same as Krishna, but because of the contamination from the three modes of nature, it is, it has put under the impurities. So, and it is also further stated or further confirmed in the in the Dashatattva Mula by, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is the 10 root essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, that a living entity, because it's being minute, can be conditioned by the material energy. But however, in the liberated stage, the living entities are free from the influence of material nature. So that means that a living entity, even though it is under the modes, influence of the modes of material nature, but however, it has the potential to transcend these three modes of nature and be liberated from this material influence. And to understand this further, I would like to discuss further the three potencies of the Supreme Lord, which is internal Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, and marginal potency or Tatastha Shakti, and external potency or Bahiranga Shakti. And these spiritual worlds, the Vaikuntha planets, are made up of the Antaranga Shakti of the Lord, whereas these Jivas belongs to the Tatastha Shakti. And the gross and subtle elements constitutes the Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. And it is confirmed also it's also discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Antaranga Chit Shakti, Tatastha Jiva Shakti, Bahiranga Maya, Tine Kare, Prema Bhakti. So in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that when the potencies of the spiritual pleasure and knowledge are both bestowed upon the conditioned souls can escape the clutches of external potency Maya, which acts as an obscuring cover, obscuring one's spiritual identity. So in this way, the jiva, which is presently under the influence of the Bahiranga Shakti, but when bestowed upon by the spiritual pleasure and knowledge, it can escape from the clutches of Maya. Because constitutionally, the jiva is a servant. Either it is serving Krishna or it is serving Maya. So in this way, a jiva is basically something which is to be dominated. So it is either dominated by the Antaranga Shakti or it is dominated by the Bahiranga Shakti. But however, you must understand that Antaranga Shakti is the ultimate dominating energy because it can also dominate the Bahiranga Shakti. But in reference to the Jiva, it can be dominated both by the Antaranga Shakti or the Bahiranga Shakti. When a Jiva takes to a spiritual path and follows the regulative principles, it is more sheltered under the spiritual potency, and as a consequently, it is endowed with all the good qualities. And once when these good qualities are reached to a certain extent where it reaches to the bhava and prema, then it is eligible to go back to Godhead. But however, when a jiva limits itself to the materialistic life under the influence of material nature, then it is still stuck under the cycle of birth and death. And this is also discussed further discussed in the 25th chapter of the same canto number 3, The Glories of Devotional Service, where the Kapila instructs to Mother Devahuti. He says that when a jiva is completely cleansed from all the impurities of lust and greed, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. And in the last, in the 18th text, we can see that in such a state, when everything he sees, one sees everything in the right perspective, and he becomes indifferent to the material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully onto him. So that means that because by the jiva, by default, is under the condition of the Bahiranga Shakti. But however, once when a jiva is cleansed from the impurities of the lust and greed and the material modes of nature, then he is more and more sheltered under the Antaranga Shakti and less under the Bahiranga Shakti or the material influence. And the material influence acts less powerful onto him. And the specific word here used is Bhakti Yuktena Chatmana, means by practicing of devotional service, one will be equipped or endowed with the grace of Lord so that one is sheltered more under the Antaranga Shakti and less under the Bahiranga Shakti. And such a jiva, thus purified from these modes of nature and the lust and greed, can exhibit its original, all the 26 good qualities which is mentioned there. And I would like to further elaborate on the eligibility and the qualifications of the jiva in realizing Krishna. We all know that these jivas basically belongs to the Tatastha Shakti of the Lord, and it is said that it is mentioned that there are 8,400,000 species of life, out of which only 400,000 species of life belongs to the human category. So this is actually less than a 5% of the overall forms of life. So, and out of these 400,000 human forms of life also, many are actually uncivilized, barbaric, and very, very small portion of them are actually civilized. So in this way, we can understand the rarity of a human life. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains what is the eligibility for a jiva to practice a devotional service. And in the third chapter, Prabhupada mentions, such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging the devotional service. So we must understand that the first thing is, of course, we must have a human body, And second is that the jiva has to have the shraddha or the unflinching attraction to the Krishna. So in this way, this is the eligibility for a jiva to perform the devotional service. Because a living entity can actually lead its life in three ways. You know, it can be classified as prakriti, vikriti and sukriti or samskriti. What it means is that prakriti means basically, essentially, living by the natural compulsions of the body and mind, just like eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And in this state, one basically acts, you know, out of the bodily demands, and essentially there is no difference between a human life and an animal life. But however, because human being is bestowed with a higher intelligence, he can be trained and he can be cultured. And such a civilized human being can elevate from this acting on such a bodily platform to a more refined and cultured life, which is called as samskruti. But however, if a human being misutilizes his intelligence and freedom, and if he commits abominable and sinful activities, then that is a life of vikruti. And once a person is elevated at least to a civilized life, then what happens is that there is a possibility to develop shraddha in him. And by the process of diksha vidana, one can realize, one can elevate to the ultimate perfection of the human life, which is to develop the love of Godhead. And in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know, Sanatana Goswami further elaborates on this process of Diksha Vidana, where he says that Tata Diksha Vidanena Dvijantam Jayate Nrinam, where he says that just as a bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury, is an alchemical process. So when one is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, immediately becomes a Brahmana. Sometimes those born in the Brahmana families protest this, but they have no strong arguments against this principle. By the grace of Krishna and his devotees, one's life can change. And also we have many seen examples of, given by Prabhupada, he gives the example of a son of a high court judge and son of a Brahmana, how the birth itself is not sufficient, but however, by the training, one can acquire this eligibility and qualifications. So regarding the qualifications, it can further be classified into two categories, the yogatva, means qualifications is yogatva. There are some intrinsic qualifications and functional qualifications. Intrinsic qualifications are something which is acquired by the birth because of the karma which is performed in the past birth, which is like a prarabdha karma. And the functional qualities, and this is acquired something from the diksha. And also there is functional qualifications which are acquired by the training or shiksha. It is both diksha and shiksha. But however, the potency of bhakti is so strong that it is, the mother Devahuti says that, my dear Lord, even if a person born in the family of a dog eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offers respects unto you and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a Brahmana and is therefore eligible to perform the sacrifices. Then what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? So in this way, even though a person may not have the required prarabdha karma from his previous births, but however, by the special mercy of the Lord, he can be bestowed in such a way that even a dog eater is eligible to perform the sacrifices. And that is acquired through Diksha Vidana, where one's previous karmic activities are burnt away. But however, one must also develop the functional qualifications, which is only possible to the Shiksha, through training. In this way, through Shiksha and Diksha, a jiva can acquire all the eligibility and qualifications required to realize Krishna. And in this way, it develops its all the original qualities, all the original good qualities, which are 26 in number. And in this respect, I also like to further point out 8 more qualities which are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because sometimes it can be seen that even those persons who have realized the Brahman and Paramatman also can actually show some of these qualities. But there are some 8 qualities which are unique, which is only meant for those who are realized the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, and that is Ashta Sattvika Vikaras, which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They are stunned, perspiration, standing of bodily hairs, flattering of voice, trembling, fading of body color, tears and devastation. Also in the current today's verse, it also mentions about perspiration, which is actually one of these 8 Ashta Sattvika Vikaras, which is perspiration. And we have seen that how Lord Chaitanya has actually many times have exhibited all these 8 transcendental symptoms. And I would like to further point out 2 more examples. When Lord Chaitanya was actually protesting against the Lord Qazi, the Qazi, in order to prove the potency of the holy chanting of the holy name, that Lord Chaitanya would defeat The Qazi's priest to establish the supremacy of chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And to prove the potency and the supremacy of the holy name, he would actually make the people and also animals chant the Hare Krishna in sublime ecstasy. And also there's one more example where, you know, the Lord Chaitanya would say, Narayani, the chant the Krishna's name and cry in ecstasy. And this little Narayani, who is actually the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, cries in ecstasy. And with the spiritual emotions and cries out, O Krishna, while rolling about and absorbed in the Krishna Prema. So in this way, we can see that, you know, how the devotees who are chanting offenselessly can exhibit all these transcendental ecstatic symptoms. But however, it is mentioned in the last paragraph of this current purport that because if one does not develop such, you know, transcendental qualities, it is because of the offenses committed while chanting the holy names. And interestingly, he says, actually Prabhupada uses the word offenses, not sins, because sins are actually eradicated at the time of initiation. But however, the propensity to sin may still remain. Even after initiation, even though the sins are destroyed, but the propensity to sin, the bija, may remain. And this may actually further impel for a person to commit offenses in the while chanting the holy names. So, but however, By the solution for that itself is actually chanting of the Hare Krishna. Thereby, once even the propensity to commit the sinful activities will be finished for good. And because the reason is because in this Kali Yuga, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, is the incarnation of the Lord. And simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. And anyone who does this is certainly be delivered. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. And these 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name is actually mentioned in the Padma Purana, Brahma Kanda. But before mentioning these 10 offenses, there is one more interesting verse which is mentioned in the Padma Purana, where it says that a person who has committed all kinds of sinful activities is redeemed by taking the shelter of Bhagavan Hari. Thus, if a human being commits offenses even to Bhagavan Hari, he is no more than a two-legged animal. If ever such a person takes the shelter of the holy names of Sri Hari, he is certainly delivered from the offenses by the name. Therefore, the holy name is the best friend of all. But if one offends the holy name, his fall down is inevitable. Because we must understand that the bhakti is ahetuki, because there is nothing which is material which can impede the bhakti. But the only thing which can stop the flow of bhakti is the offenses, especially against the holy name. And these 10 offenses, as you all know, which we chant every day after the Mangalarti. And in the conclusion, Prabhupada mentions that how by taking the shelter of the, you know, by chanting the names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, he can cleanse of all those offenses. And as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he feels the ecstasy of love of God. Therefore, one must first take the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivasati, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. By serving Gaur and Nityananda, one is freed from the entanglements of material existence. Yeah. Thus, I would like to conclude my talk. Thank you very much. It was a fast class. So, does anyone have any questions? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Yes, sir. Very deep points, very nice class, thank you. My question is, even if we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Gaura, Bhakta Vrinda, we are supposed to relieve from reactions of offenses, but still we don't have, at least me, maybe sometimes, I don't know, maybe I know where, in the past, whatever, some maybe symptoms, or to other devotees also, appear, yeah. But maybe for sure not all of them. So my question is, can you hint some kind of enlightenment to us, some kind hints or some kind, why it's like that then after, you know, we are every morning we are repeating 10 offenses, but somehow or other we are not completely aware throughout all our day by day basic, in any moment, then something is wrong. Otherwise, symptom will appear. So can you give maybe some hint how can be more aware about these 10 offenses, you know, in any moment of our life, throughout the day?
Yeah.
How to be aware that we are really still committing some of these 10, or lower than, or at least few, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there are offenses which are being committed, right? And then, but even these offenses, there are some offenses which are performed intentionally, and there are some offenses which are performed intentionally and unintentionally. So, and it is within our complete power to avoid committing those offenses. But those offenses which are committed inattentively or unknowingly, probably, you know, they can be forgiven by chanting the names of Lord Chaitanya, and then, you know, also in Tulsi Puja, we pray to Tulsi Marani to, you know, forgive from all those offenses. But however, if one is deliberately committing those offenses, then that's up to the individual jiva. It's his free choice. I mean, there's nothing more than that. I mean, like, if the simple answer would be do not commit them. Because, just for example, like, you know, blaspheme the devotees. I mean, this is the solution would be don't blaspheme them. It's simple. I mean, what's so difficult in that? Yeah. Yes,
Harimau Shyam Chandra Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice debut. He's been giving Bhagavad Gita class for quite some time, but this is his first Bhagavatam class. I had to twist his arm. And I think you made a very nice debut. One thing I would like to suggest is your notes were very extensive, but you went through them like at light speed. So maybe you can make your notes available somehow.
Yes.
So devotees can download and really try to appreciate them.
Sure.
And then the second thing is on Prem Sankirtan's question, that's where the process of surrender comes in. You have to surrender to be freed from mistakes, offenses. You have to surrender. It's just like even pure devotees, for instance, step on ants while they're walking down the street. But because they're completely surrendered to Krishna, Krishna says, "Ahang tvam sarva papebhyo," I will protect you from any sinful reaction. So similarly with chanting or anything else that we do, if we surrender, we have that mood of surrender, then Krishna will take away those reactions and take away the mistakes, reactions to the mistakes that we make. That's the whole point of surrender. You can't do it on your own. It's not possible to avoid all these offenses on your own or to avoid sinful reactions on your own. Yeah. You have to surrender. But we don't like to hear that. You see, as conditioned souls, surrender means I'm giving up my freedom, I'm being dominated, it doesn't sit right with our mentality when we're conditioned. And that's where purification comes in. As we become more and more purified, we realize that surrender is actually for our own good. It's for our own protection. It's the only way. So that's where Bhagavad Gita ends. Bhagavad Gita ends with surrender to me. And if we do that, then all of these other instructions that we're getting in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita become easy because we're surrendered.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Very nice class. So, by reading the text today, and also by your explanations, I understand that for going to the spiritual world, we should be in the stage of Baba or Prema. By the symptoms, you know, like Lord Brahma is describing perspiration. Yeah. So, that means that those who are in the lower stages of Nishta, or Rati, Ashakti, so we have to take birth again. So we have to be in the stage of Baba or Prema to be transferred to the spiritual world.
Yeah, that is my understanding. So only once one has fully surrendered, like, and one is only a, one, only when one is performing like unalloyed devotional service with all the full transcendental symptoms, only, like, at least according to this verse, you know, that only they are qualified to enter into the Vaikuntha planets. As long as there are still the impurities in the heart, then that means that the person is not ready yet. But however, of course, as Krishna says, that in the next life also, probably he'll be getting a better opportunity for him to continue from where he left.
Just a comment that in one lecture, one time, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that to a large group of devotees, after mentioning that you have to be 100% surrender, the devotees became like a little bit disappointed. So then Srila Prabhupada saw that and he said, okay, 90%. Then he said, 80%. So my point is that if one focuses on pleasing Srila Prabhupada in spite of, you know, the, some deficiencies that might be there because it's so much that you just become, you see, this is too much for me. But if you just focus 100% in pleasing the spiritual master, he will take you.
Sure.
Regardless. Because, yeah, you go to be too technical, you can get lost.
Yeah.
You know, like the presentation that you gave is to be discussed for a whole year. You know, you made it like in, you were so kind to do all this research, and obviously every point is so valuable. But ultimately, just to make a nutshell, please the spiritual master, in this case Srila Prabhupada, and he'll take care of you.
Sure.
You don't have to worry about any other thing.
Sure. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for making the point. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.